You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
on Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Casual Friday, April 29th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live from Trafalgar Square in merry old Britain. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've taken the entire team with us to Great Britain to enjoy the pomp and circumstance of course, the wedding of the royals, as it were. I don't even know the fucking name of the people getting married. One's a prince and one's a princess.
William and Kate.
There you go. Prince William and Princess Kate. Is she just a commoner?
She was a commoner.
I'm disgusted. I am disgusted.
A serf.
Are you kidding me? You're a prince and you get married to a common? Like, turn that music off. I forget about it. Pack it up, guys. We're going back to America. Ladies and gentlemen, on the program today, we will be joined by Chris Rosen, as we always are on Fridays, to give us another horrible set of movie recommendations. And today we will feature the first installment of what I will hope will happen every week. Of course, it is Jimmy Reefer Cake singing the week in news. Oh, boy. It's casual today, folks. And, however, to sort of, like, pull this show out of the crapper today, we have with us on the phone, I enjoyed it so much, well, not last week, because I was on vacation, I guess, but when I was in Vegas, the opportunity to sit down with my good friend Cliff Schechter and talk about just, you know, it's Casual Friday, so we're going to talk about the news. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cliff Schechter is here with us. Cliff, are you there?
I am most certainly here, Sam.
Now, Cliff, I know you're exhausted because I know that you got up this morning at 3:30 a.m. to watch the royal wedding live.
Well, I didn't feel that I could because I'm only a commoner.
That's, well, you know, you can watch.
Oh, I'm allowed to do that? Okay.
You're allowed.
I thought I had to go and clean urine stains off the bathroom floor.
That's right. That's right. We've given you a slight reprieve from your peasantry duties. I'm just enraged that a prince would marry just a common tramp. Just like a, my God. I hope she can.
I mean, even her name, Middleton. She's middle class. How disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Can she get a job?
I wonder if it's one of those deals where, like, the Millerton's father brought her to the castle because she can weave straw into gold.
Ooh. I think that's an important question. I hope E! Entertainment Live is on that one.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess I'm completely zeroed in on Rumpelstiltskin now because my daughter seems to bring home from school every day a different version of Rumpelstiltskin, and that I pulled that one out of my Miller's daughter. Sure. It doesn't matter. So I don't know, the royal wedding. Do people care
In this country?
Well, I mean, doesn't it seem like there's a tremendous amount of news about? I mean, coverage of coverage.
Go ahead. Sorry, Sam.
I mean, isn't there like a tremendous amount of coverage of this? I mean, I can understand the actual wedding, but like Martin Bashir has been covering this for 7 weeks. It seems like
it kind of fits with my theory on all culture these days, which is it's sort of an expansion of the village theory that, you know, that Digby and other bloggers have laid out about how, you know, people sitting in certain spots in Washington think they know what we all want. It's not much different in the media complexes, whether it's in New York or entertainment stuff in L.A. or whatever. They all think they know what everybody wants. So they just assume because they want to watch this thing that all the rest of us want to watch. So I really come to that conclusion.
I mean, do you think it's just, like, bad taste on their part, or do you think it's just because, like, this is pretty easy stuff? I mean, literally, who could not sit in there and comment about this wedding?
Well, I mean, do you want to be, you know, doing what they, you know, do you want to go out there interviewing four guys wearing the same top hat, or do you want to be in Libya getting shot at?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, in my opinion, it's an easy gig. It's a nice trip to England, you know? Get to go over, have a little fish and chips, do a couple interviews with weirdos on the street who with funny accents. Yeah, I think it's a very easy thing to do. It's a content filler for 24-hour TV. And it's the kind of thing that they know that we're a celebrity-drenched culture because they throw that stuff at us all the time. So, you know, here they get to throw some foreign celebrities at us.
And I mean, you know, like another example of this, not nearly as attractive as even the prince or certainly the princess now, is Hailey Barber. The New York Times wrote a massive piece on the implications of Hailey Barber dropping out of the race. This guy was polling at literally like 0.7%. I mean, you or I could jump into the race and get almost similar polls just by accident.
I know. I mean, there's a classic example. He was a big lobbyist in D.C., RNC chief, so he's known around town. He goes to all the right parties when he's there. So they think this guy is a big deal. They think that he's someone that could actually play outside of about 9, you know, border and southern states in this country. I mean, in the end, the biggest effect that he's not being in this race is going to have is there'll probably be fewer white sheets to wash.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
No, well, I mean, I think that's legitimate. I mean, all it does is it pushes Donald Trump up to the number one racist position in the GOP right now.
Yeah, he basically, I'd say he's got pole position. He may have to battle it out with Michelle Bachmann a bit.
Right.
But and Michelle Bachmann's people, if there are any people that actually still work for her, probably are pretty excited because they're like, look, you know, he makes her look sane. All the actual sane people that would have to be on a stage debating this guy. I mean, Mitt Romney, people like that, who I may not like, but I'll at least accept that they have some sanity. You know, I mean, can you imagine the questions and the debates and the kind of this stuff this guy's going to say? I will do healthcare awesome. I will do it awesome. Better than anybody else. I mean, he's just going to stand there and say ridiculous stuff, and these guys are all going to be debased by it. So,
my favorite thing about Donald Trump, and I know you just wrote a piece, I think, for Al Jazeera on Donald Trump. He apparently, at his speech in Nevada, said, "I'm not a I'm going to swear when I negotiate with the Chinese."
He's going to swear?
Yeah, I'm not afraid to swear at them.
I might even bring a couple fortune cookies with me, you know.
I'm going to rub it in their face.
Exactly. They're going to want me to eat the Mugu Gai Pan.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I'm going with the General Chow.
He promised to use swear words while negotiating with China.
And that should get it done. It's kind of like how he tricked Gaddafi on that land deal. So you know he'd be good at foreign policy.
Wait, what is this? What land deal, Gaddafi?
Did you know that he a couple weeks ago, he was on Fox and Friends, the ever-popular and ever-entertaining Fox and Friends, and when they asked him about his foreign policy, he's like, I sold that guy a piece of land, and it was much more valuable than he knew it, or, I mean, it's much less valuable than he knew. I got him to overpay me, and he doesn't even use it. So I would like to say I screwed him. Yep, I'll use that word. I screwed him. And that's my, you know, and that's basically his foreign policy.
Do you think
he's going to screw people by selling them land for too much money?
For a long time, I thought this guy wasn't going to run, but I think, you know, one of the things that Obama did in releasing his birth certificate, aside from, you know, marginalizing 40% of the Republican Party, is I think that, like, you know, Trump is so full of ego at this point, he's he's saying stuff like out in Nevada. You know, first he visits New Hampshire. He said stuff out in Nevada. Do you think he's going to run?
I really didn't think so. The way I didn't think that Sarah Palin was going to run in the beginning. You know, and, I mean, and I still really don't think she will because she likes collecting the dough. I don't know. You know, to me, I guess the real question is, we know this guy's full of it, so how rich is he really? Because he's got a ton of debt, a ton of corporate debt and the rest. So what does it all equal out to? My answer would be, if he has enough money, I could see him running just for the huge ego trip, at least staying in it for a couple months. I don't know that he runs the whole way. But, you know, he's got like 6-9 months he can stay in this thing before he ever has to enter a primary or, you know, or a caucus. And if he can keep his numbers up high enough, then that whole time he's going to get exactly what he wants, which is paid attention to. So I'm still not convinced he finishes and tries to stay in it. I mean, I think he'll lose anyhow, but I do think he might. I think he might stick around for another 6 months, which could be all sorts of fun for us.
Yeah, and I would assume it's going to have a real detrimental impact on Republicans. I mean, you know, like when his like jockeying right now is one thing, and him using this to you know, to build the ratings of his series finale is another thing. But at one point he's going to announce, and if he says he's getting into the race and just even pretends for the next 6 months until Iowa, that's going to really, I would think, have a pretty bad impact on some other Republicans. Is not, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think so. Because, again, I mean, I really, you know, this is something, the more I think about this lately, I guess a lot of my line of thinking, you know, for certain things I'm looking at writing and whatever, I mean, really, there are people up top who they all decide what we all like. And Trump is part of that crowd now. You know, Trump is I mean, well, not now, he has been. So he's acceptable. He's that acceptable elite, you know, from New York, whole thing, went to the right schools, even though he didn't really get in on his own. And so he's gonna, you know, they're gonna pay attention to him no matter what he says. And of course it's gonna hurt other guys because they're gonna get questions at all these silly town halls and they're gonna get questions hell, they're probably gonna all have to arrest Nicole Sandler now. You know, and they're gonna get questions at debates and things that they don't wanna answer. And he's all too happy to answer because you know, he's not, his calculus isn't winning or being respectable. His calculus is getting media attention. So I would say, again, the only people that might help, and not in any real way because it's not like they're going to win anyhow, is it may make Michelle Bachmann look a little bit less crazy, I suppose, but not enough less crazy that she ends up winning. So, and there's no doubt Romney and Pawlenty and the couple guys that, while they have inane ideas or at least semi-adult there, are going to be dragged into the muck.
It's interesting.
At least that's what I think.
All right, well, let's talk about more pressing matters. That is these conservative Dems in the Senate. We now have, and, you know, I think this is Obama reaping what he sowed on some level. We now have almost a half a dozen Democrats in the Senate. Conrad, Joe Manchin, Mark Pryor, Klobuchar is dancing around this. Udall are all talking about voting against the raising the debt ceiling unless there's some type of draconian cuts.
So they're joining in with Boehner, which I guess shouldn't be a shock. And I'm sure in the House they'll have their usual Boren-Schuler alignment of traitorous, not really Democrats joining them. And I agree. I've come to a point now where I have to accept that either Obama is the worst negotiator and a pretty terrible leader, or this is all orchestrated on purpose because this is what he wants. And I have a hard time believing that he could be this bad. So I almost feel like this is what he wants. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But basically you're right. I mean, he's never pressured these guys. The only people he gets mad at are on the left, as we know. He never pressured these guys to do anything. I mean, he could have gone to them in the beginning of his presidency and said, healthcare, stimulus, you know, financial reform, these are my three priorities. You're going to give me what I want on that. If you want to break away from me on certain social issues that will help you in your districts, fine. But instead, when he caved initially because Ben Nelson and a few of the Democrats, Evan Bayh and some Republicans, carped about the stimulus, and then Ben Nelson and Joe Lieberman and a few others carped about the public option or Medicare for those over 55, again and again, when these guys have you know, caused trouble, have pouted, he's given in. So what reason would they think that he wouldn't do exactly the same thing again?
Right. I mean, I sadly think I've come to the same conclusion that Obama is actually much smarter and much better at this, but is this is the outcome that he wants. Now, it may be an ideological desire or maybe simply a political desire, but this is the outcome he wants. He wants there to be no drama over this. He wants there to be no right. conflict here. And the way that he can achieve that is by setting the table and then letting, you know, these blue dog types come and sit and eat and essentially, let them have a pie fight with the Republicans somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's the deal. I mean, if you see what Dick Durbin is doing, everybody knows Dick Durbin was a very progressive guy. What, suddenly now he's on the Gang of Six, talking about cutting Social Security, which is something he refused to even entertain a couple of years ago. Everybody knows, you'd have to be insane to not think he's acting on behalf of Obama considering their relationship. So I just come to a point, I can't believe Obama's this bad a negotiator. I have to believe, I think long term he thinks, you know, he pictures himself, the crowds he hangs out in Washington, the bipartisan, cut spending and cut the safety net and the rest. He thinks that's the way he gets remembered, I think, as a great president. The one that took on entitlements and reformed them, and then so all the little inside D.C. folks can write all their little things about how he's courageous and, you know, and the rest. I mean, it's the only thing I can think of because none of the rest of it makes any sense. And the more he does stuff like this, the more he not only angers the base, the more he shows independents who still are not with him that he has no leadership and that repels them. And he imperils his chances for re-election if the Republicans do actually emerge with a half-sane candidate. The poll just came out the other day.
Yep.
He's losing in Nevada to Romney right now.
And the poll just came out today, Quinnipiac poll. His approval rating in Pennsylvania is now 42-53%. It's an all-time low. And it's a drop from 51-44% in February. We're a long ways out here, but, you got guys like Ron Brownstein, a perfect beltway type, starting to write this, story essentially of, you know, Obama could be in trouble here. And the big factor, of course, is going to be the economy. We had Ben Bernanke come out the other day. Oh, his first sort of historic press conference, frankly, overshadowed by the birth certificate, and I'm not convinced that wasn't at least a bonus to release it on that day. Basically, coming out and saying, you know, the statutory mandate of the Fed to deal with unemployment as well as inflation, we're just going to deal with half of that. And that being inflation. And there is no inflation now. And all he's basically doing is protecting the value of bondholders' bonds.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think there probably was a plan of that sort. I mean, I've gotten so cynical about Obama and about all this stuff. And again, he thinks this is the path to victory, which you and I have always, you and I agree and many others. Good policy is good politics. And the policy that would have had the correct amount of stimulus, re-regulated Wall Street, lowered people's health care costs so they could feel it by now, and had some of those provisions, not the extra stuff like the public option, but some of those provisions actually kick in before like 2082. You know, I mean, in the end, if you do all that stuff, people feel better about things and they vote for you. Instead, he's done the whole Beltway thing. A lot of people haven't been affected, and, you know, the Beltway can only look at things as left versus right, whatever. There's a lot of conservative Democrats out there in poorer districts that came across and voted for Obama. What would be their reason to do it now? You know, and I just, not to mention members of the base and suburban independents and others. And I mean, you see this stuff because I saw something where they were saying, well, they need an alternative path to victory. So if he can't carry Florida and Ohio, and I'll get to that in a second because I'm in Ohio, then he could win Nevada. He could always do Nevada, Colorado, and Virginia. Well, he's losing to Romney right now in Nevada. Nevada has a pretty decent sized Mormon population. If Romney's a nominee, yes, and so does Colorado, those are not givens, not to mention Virginia with McDonald there and whatever. And I will tell you, they're right to be scared about Ohio. If Kasich hadn't overplayed his hand here with this ridiculous bill, you know, in collective bargaining, I honestly would have ready to say that Obama was done here. Now, at least, because Kasich has stepped so far to the right, they're losing some people, I would say Obama's back in the game. But it's still going to be an uphill fight here.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, Cliff Schechter, thanks so much for joining us. Happy casual Friday. I know you want to get back to your scrapbooking of the royal wedding.
Yes.
you've got a lot of pictures to cut out of magazines and take photos of your TV, I understand, so...
Well, I haven't gotten the poster up yet with Harry in the Nazi uniform, so I'm going to work on that.
All right, dude. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Take care, Sam. Thanks, man.
Folks, we got to take a break. When we come back, you know what time it is. It's time for Chris Rosen. And maybe what we'll do is let Chris Rosen also review Jimmy Reefer Cake's news song. What is it? News and song for the week. We got to figure out what to call it. Maybe we'll let Chris Rosen see if he can come up with a name. That should be interesting. All right, we'll be right back after this.
MovieLine.com. Big shot senior editor, Here is your theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room watching movies and you dress like a slob. Jimmy Reefer Cake's got to ask you, said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you get that job?
Yes, Chris Rosen, how did you get that job? How did you get... Wait, what's going on? Are you typing? Is your girlfriend typing there?
No.
All right.
What's doing, Sam?
How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well. You look a little frazzled, I have to say. It looks like you didn't get a lot of sleep. Were you up early watching the royal wedding?
I was up early watching the royal wedding. First of all, you can't just watch the royal wedding. You have to get your uniform on. And also, I wore a facsimile of what's the name of Caroline?
Kate.
I wore a facsimile of Kate's dress.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Are you going to put those pics up on the blog?
Maybe not.
Nice. But it was just hopefully. Fingers crossed.
That was just more for me at home. That's just the way, that's what a real fan does.
Right.
That's what a real royalist does, a monarch.
Right. Yeah. You have to.
You wear the dress.
Right. Of course. You know, Benny Hill did that, I think. He was a big cross dresser.
Great. Well, you have a very broad... I mean, that's actually impressive for you to have a Benny Hill reference.
Hey, you know, sometimes broken clock, right? Twice a day, right?
Benny Hill do a guest spot on...
Parks and Recreation. They made a joke about him last night, actually. That's how I knew about him.
They did? They made a reference about him last night?
No, they didn't, dummy. Come on.
All right, so, Rosie, what did you recommend last week?
You know, we weren't on last week because you were on vacation, which wanted to add. Yeah, I'm sure it was a lot of fun. And the week before, I honestly don't remember.
Toy Story 3.
Oh,
Toy Story 3. Oh,
hey,
thank
you.
You
know what? I'll tell you something.
Thank you for that because I have so many app replies in my little thing saying how great a movie Toy Story 3 was.
I'll tell you something, okay? I asked around about Toy Story 3.
Yes.
And
everyone said it was great.
Bar none. Every parent told me, do not show your kids it. Kids hated that movie.
I don't have kids. I didn't say to watch it with your kid. I just said you should watch it.
Well, I didn't. I tried to get
it's very sad. That's why kids would not like it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Like they die or something, right?
Well, they don't die, but they're given away because, you know, it's about growing up.
Ugh.
Giving your toys away. Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen
it.
For the three people who didn't see this movie that grossed $1 billion worldwide.
That's
you,
me.
You know,
you're usually supposed to say the alert before.
Yeah,
the
you say the spoiler alert. And then,
that's right.
You don't say spoiler alert afterwards.
Bruce Willis is dead, by the way.
What?
What? Nothing.
Okay.
You'll get that joke.
What was the other thing that you suggested?
I don't remember, honestly. It was probably a documentary. It was about, it was a film registry documentary about, like, salvaging film. I forget what it was called.
I didn't watch that.
Well, whatever. You know, what are you going to do?
I watch about 50% of your recommendations.
You know, sometimes it's like horseshoes.
Film registry. I'll put that down. I'll consider it.
It was like In the Shadows or something.
In the Shadows. The problem is Nikki is so into Battlestar Galactica now that
you can't get her away.
I can't get her to watch anything else now. But we'll try. Well, what do you got for me this week?
Well, this week I wanted to do. I know you're gonna mock me. I know already off the top, but a Toy Story 2.
Did anybody on MovieLine.com? Wait a second. Did anybody on MovieLine.com review Who's the Caboose?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
It's hard. We don't really do DVD reviews anymore, Sam. I'm sorry.
You don't do any DVD reviews
anymore? We do some DVD reviews. We just haven't done them lately.
Well, I wish I knew the senior editor at MovieLine.com.
I wrote about it very lovingly, I think, on my blog. Put a nice
on your
link
blog?
To the site.
Well, you're a senior editor of MovieLine.com.
That doesn't mean I can't have a blog. People have, like, Tumblrs and stuff.
Ugh.
We're running out of time, Sam. We want to get to the movies. That's,
yeah,
that's what the people want.
We are running out of time.
That is what the people want. I can tell. I mean, my Twitter feed, you know, the three people who at reply me, they just love this. So,
all right.
But anyway, well, here's a movie I haven't actually seen, which I hesitate to do. But
well, I got to tell you, you know, your review of a movie that you haven't seen in bed
I'm not
right
reviewing
now
it.
Is right around, I think, at the same quality of a review of a movie you've seen. So...
Listen, I didn't see it.
Do another podcast that people are like, hey, Chris, can you push my movie? Sure, I'll go on and push your movie.
No, it's not.
Not like
I'm
going to write Who's the Caboose on
MovieLine.com. It's a stupid documentary, and I know you like documentaries. That's why I want to suggest it to you.
What is it?
It's on Netflix. You can watch it for free. It's called Marwin Call.
Marwin?
It was not nominated for an Oscar last year, but it was up for an Independent
Spirit
Award.
How do you spell this?
MARWENCOL.
WER.
Nope, M-E-R.
Yeah, M-E-R.
M-A-R.
M-A-A-R.
W-E-N.
W-E-N.
C-O-L.
C-O-L. Okay.
And it's about this guy who got beat up and was left with brain damage, and he creates this small fictional town out of models that he names Marwin Call. And he's in upstate New York, and it ends up being, like, found by an art gallery who wants to, like, use his, you know, little town because it's very detailed and stuff. In, like, one of their exhibits, but he uses this town to, like, hide, you know, from reality because he doesn't want to face, like, you know, the brain damage and getting beat up. And it's, like, about his reentry into the world.
Interesting. That sounds
And it was supposed to be an excellent movie, and I just saw it now that it's on Netflix Instant Watch. I think that's the recent ad to Netflix.
That sounds like a good movie. Good for
so
you,
I plan
Chris.
On watching
I think you should try this more often.
Okay.
And this whole thing where you don't watch
don't
a movie.
Don't see it. Right. Well, here, and here's what I...
You could be a... That would be a great hook for a movie reviewer.
The guy who doesn't watch the movie.
Yeah, I don't watch it, but you should.
Well, you should watch this one. I'll watch it too, maybe, if I have time.
I better not see that on MovieLine.com before a Who's the Caboose review.
No, you're not going to see it before Who's the Caboose.
No, I don't want to see like a special column, like movies I haven't seen, but you should.
No,
I don't want to
no.
see that on MovieLine.com.
So we did have a nice story the other day about a poll that said a lot of people lie about seeing famous movies. I don't know if you saw this, Sam.
Hey, no. What if you see Who's the Caboose in that column?
I saw Who's the Caboose. I stayed up to like 2 a.m. to watch that fucking thing.
2 a.m.? What are you doing during the day?
Working.
On what, for God's sakes? You give out movie reviews for movies you haven't seen.
No, I didn't review this one. I just said you should watch it. It was a suggestion. I think I know your taste.
All right, what else?
It's like setting someone up on a blind date.
I understand.
This next movie I've seen, and again, now you're going to crab all over me. I wasn't a huge fan in the theater, but I think it will play great on television. And tying into the Royal Wedding, The King's Speech is out on demand today, or this week. And I think you should maybe on demand it over the weekend. Come on! Don't drop a bomb on me! This is not fair!
You didn't even hear it. you didn't even hear a drop. Well, I got that movie because I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild. They sent it to me for...
Oh, so you've already seen it?
No. Nikki watched it. It was not something that I was terribly interested in.
Well, look, listen, I saw it in the theater. I didn't think it was a very good theatrical movie. It really feels like a TV movie. You know, Colin Firth is very good in it. Jeffrey Rush, I think, was better. I can hear that. There's a microphone in front of you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought
that's
that
okay.
I thought that's what I was thinking. I didn't realize that was coming out of my mouth.
Maybe Evan could punch out the cues and like I won't hear it. Then.
Right, right. I'm sorry. We don't have a cough button, so we don't have a raspberry button, so that when I go, you know, there's no way for you not to hear that.
They won five Oscars. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. That's good.
And it was the royal wedding. You wanted royalty.
I'm glad you turned my listeners onto that because they would have never known.
It's not about
that. About the movie that won all the Academy Awards. We're really doing a public service here.
It is a public service. You said you don't see anything.
6 weeks after the Academy Awards.
It's on demand.
Okay.
That's why. Wow. You can't see it. I can't tell you to go bid for it.
Do you get like you hear your IM ring and you're like, oh shit, I got to come up with two movies. King's Speech.
No, because I thought we
Jaws.
I was gonna pick The Graduate before I saw Marwan call.
Well, at least that would have been. All right,
no, but look, you know, we have to do one on demand. The segment is
what the segment is.
I'm just explaining.
But why do I need you to tell me to watch the Academy Award winning like
because you don't watch the
about.
Idea is that you don't watch anything and you don't have any pop culture sensibility at times.
Oh God.
You know, you're too busy watching Battlestar.
Sensibility. Battlestar Galactic is a great show.
Yes, I know it is. You've been telling me that for 3 months.
Okay, listen. Now I want you to do. I'm going to give a special treat. You're never going to have the opportunity to do this again.
Let me hear it.
But we're going to play Jimmy Reefer Cake's News and Review. It's like whole show. Like half of it is Jimmy Reefer Cake songs now because with your intro. But we're going to do it. You get one shot at what you. I don't even know why. Maybe you have a better chance of reviewing if you don't hear it. But we're going to play the.
It sounds
week
great. It's a little long.
I participate in this as per Jimmy Reefer Cakes and
stuff. So you want me to review it?
Yeah, well, just give me your thoughts. All right, so
okay,
listen carefully. Here we go. And this is the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, we may even need a theme song to introduce the Jimmy Reefer Cake news and review song, but here it is.
It's me coming at you with a real quick song. People hating on Obama, they got it all wrong. They always hating the player and not the game. Hillary, Joe Biden, it would have all been the same. Could have been a whole lot worse with John McCain. He'd make what they're doing to Bradley Manning seem plain. I'm telling you, man, these freaks are totally insane. They do stuff just to look tough, even though they got nothing to gain. I'm spouting a lot of knowledge from my reefer fuel brain. I've been doing this for years, man. It's my business, you know what I'm saying? And all you majority reporters, man, you know I'm not playing. We want news with comedy. It's not fake or pretend. And that's why we tune in to Majority.fm. What's Sammy gonna give me? Gonna give me some beef or cake? How about you drop my name right here, Sammy?
It's Jimmy Reefer Cake. There you go.
Wow. I didn't see the rhyming FM part coming. I got to say, that was a surprise.
All right. Well, thanks for
your
review.
That was just a comment on it. You want me to tell you what it was? I thought it was nice. It's a little long for an intro.
You didn't even know what it was. All right. Goodbye.
I didn't know what it was.
See you next week.
It was a song.
The movies for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Marwan Call, which is a documentary, and this movie you've never heard of called The King's Speech.
I wish I had a memory.
Goodbye, sir. See you next week. Jesus. He didn't even realize that was... He reviews the song. He's like, this is not a very good intro.
It's not an intro.
It's not an intro. All right. So that was the Jimmy Reefer Cake news and review. Here's my review of that. There was no news. It didn't mention any stories. It mentioned Bradley Manning briefly. Okay. Fair enough. And defended Obama's treatment of Bradley Manning. That's about it. So I thought the song itself was pretty good, though, and I liked the Majority FM rhyme, and I'm glad it was interactive where I got to
like
say
that,
Jimmy
yeah.
Reefer Cake.
Yeah.
But I got to say...
I thought it was clever that he made you say his name when you put an imposition on him not to.
Right, right. Right. No, I thought that was clever. But I'd like to see a little bit more substance in there. There's a lot of vamping going on. You know, like, hey, I'm here. I'm doing the song. Well, you can sing along. It's, you know, it's just like, there's a lot of filler.
Come on, Jimmy, reefer cake. More substance.
More substance, please. All right, we got a couple more stories before we get to the post show. Now, despite the fact that you have now almost six Blue Dog Democrats in the Senate coming out sort of threatening to vote against raising the debt ceiling, former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, you remember him, he was the one who called the Bush administration, whom he worked for, the Mayberry Machiavellis, said, I think people who threaten not to pass the debt ceiling are our version of Al-Qaeda terrorists. O'Neill said in an interview on Wednesday on Bloomberg's television In Business with Margaret Brennan, they're really putting our whole society at risk by threatening to round up 50% of the members of Congress who are loony, who would put our credit at risk. Don't know what to tell you. Meanwhile, as we go across the states, well, first of all, the Pentagon, speaking of Manning, has taken reporters on a tour of the new facility that Private Manning will be incarcerated in. I want to repeat, some moron on the YouTube comment page said that Bradley Manning was charged. I didn't claim that Bradley Manning wasn't charged. I claim that he's been held for over almost a year and a half. Is it almost a year and a half?
Yeah, I think it is.
Without being tried. And his latest round of charges only came in a couple of months ago. They keep adding them when they figure out they... Now, apparently there is a grand jury still trying to figure out how to indict Julian Assange. They have subpoenaed a guy who I believe is it David House, the guy in Cambridge? Or is House Manning's lawyer? It's this guy in Cambridge, Mass., who he's only been identified as someone from Cambridge, but I believe that's where Bradley Manning's friend, who's the only person who's been allowed to visit him, lives. So they're still trying to prosecute Julian Assange. They're taking reporters now on a tour of the facility that Bradley Manning is going to be housed in to prove that they're not torturing him anymore. How pathetic has this country become? That's what you have to do when you know you send people to China to see if they're being tortured, or you send people down to despotic prisons. I mean, it's ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, Oklahoma State Representative Sally Kern, I don't know, I smell potential Trump running mate here, says that she's seen a lot of people of color who didn't study hard because they said the government would take care of them. This during a debate on amendment to the state's constitution that would eliminate affirmative action in the state government. Kern voted for the amendment, arguing that minorities earn less because they don't work as hard. We have a high percentage of blacks in prison, and that's tragic. But they're in prison because they are. But are they in prison because they're just because they are black, or because they don't want to study as hard in school? Kern also noted, as the Tulsa World reports, that women don't earn as much money as men because, quote, they tend to spend more time at home with their families. This despite every single study that shows that women are paid, 20% less for the exact same job? At least 20%. The proposed amendment passed by a vote of 59-14 Wednesday. It will get on the ballot in November of 2012. Meanwhile, as reported by Think Progress, Representative Scott DeHarlis, Republican in Tennessee, classic Republican, campaigned last year to repeal the Affordable Care Act. He said it's socialized medicine. I don't know if he said like West that like, you know, Medicare is going to destroy this country, but he also voted to repeal the entire bill. 4 months into office, however, DeHarlis sends his representative with a big cardboard check for the construction of a community health clinic in Cumberland County, Tennessee, that is being built, and this check reflected it, with $4.5 million in grant money. And are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Where did that money come from? From the Affordable Care Act.
Surprise, surprise.
In addition to expanding coverage to nearly 30 million people, in addition to essentially heavily regulating how and why and when an insurance company can deny you coverage, the Affordable Care Act also provides grants for community health clinics across the country. So Representative DeHarlis, nice, have your cake and eat it too. Meanwhile, Chris Christie, remember he crashed the tunnel that was going to be built from New Jersey to New York because it could cost too much money, even though it would create thousands of jobs, even though it would help with property values in New Jersey, even though it would make people more productive and cut down on their travel time, even though it would probably create more people moving to New Jersey to work in New York City. All of those benefits, all of the jobs, all of the ripple effect of the economic benefits, all out the window. However, the Christie administration has reached a deal to revive the vast Xanadu project.
Oh, yes.
It is a half-built, not even, eyesore along a stretch of the New Jersey Highway. It has had already two owners. $1.9 billion flushed down the toilet in trying to pursue this. Christie has agreed to provide low-interest financing and forgo most sales tax revenue for a period of time. Now, you know, well, that sales tax wouldn't be there if you didn't build Xanadu. Well, where do you think the stores are going to come from? Do you think there's going to be a massive increase in buying in the state of New Jersey in that area? Or do you think that's just people who would go to other stores are going to go to these stores? So there's going to be a significant loss in tax revenue in addition to the money in the low-interest financing. Because where's the state government going to be able to get that money at low finance? Are they going to be able to borrow that money from somewhere at low finance? I don't think so. They're going to lend that money out that could have been lent out for a higher interest rate. Jeff Tittle, director of New Jersey Chapter of Sierra Club, says at a time when the governor is taking money from renewable energy in schools, he's bailing out an ugly mall.
I think it also, at least in the initial plan, was supposed to have an indoor ski slope in it.
Yes. I'm sure. This way, well, the benefit of this is that the next time a massive storm is about to hit New Jersey, Chris Christie doesn't have to run off to Disney World. He can just go down the New Jersey Turnpike and visit Xanadu.
Home sweet home.
Home sweet home. All right, folks. We didn't even have time to take calls today. We got to figure out something. You can call at Majority Live via Skype or 646-257-3920. We got to figure out a way of organizing things so that we can get into those calls better. So I can get to calls. You can IM me at Majority FM. Folks, for those of you who listen to the free podcast, please become a member. Become a member today. We need your support. My projections for this month are in danger of not being met. I need at least 25 of you to join, I guess, in the next couple of days. So please, if you can become a member, it would be much appreciated. If you have hardship, email me. We can take care of it that way. But if you enjoy the show, you want it to continue, We're talking 50 cents a day. 50 cents a day can feed a Binder or an Evan. Binder is, we're going to change his name to Binder. Or we may just revert to New Dorsey.
No, really no.
Like we'll see. We'll see what sticks. All right, folks. We will see you on Monday. Next week, at the very least, we'll be talking to the Rude Pundit. He's got a new book out. And more. Give you an update on what's happening on May 12th. There's some direct action happening in New York City and a couple of cities around the country. You're going to want to know about this. All right, folks, have a great weekend. You can IM me at Majority FM. On the flip side, you can call 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920.